We're in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Hey Amud Beis, and the Gemara had quoted the different laws of Baal Ta'achir. The Gemara had analyzed the Pasuk, and that we're up to the point in the Pasuk where the Braisa had said, Vaya v'chachet v'lo v'koban chachet. That the Torah had said that if one delays in bringing one's sacrifice or one's duties towards God, then the Torah says there will be a sin in the person, and we derive from that that the sin is on the person, but there's nothing lacking as far as the sacrifice goes. Meaning, he has an issue with God. He sinned by delaying his dues, but the sacrifice is still qualified. That doesn't disqualify the sacrifice itself. The Torah says the sin is in the person. So the Gemara questions, and this is derived from here. This concept is learned from this pasuk. Isn't it derived from what Achirim taught us? Achirim are others. There were rabbis who sometimes were taxed that they weren't quoted by name. They were quoted as others say. So they're called Achirim. Ditanya, for we have the following braisa. Achirim omerim, others say. Yachol yehei b'chol she'avra shenato kipsulei ha-mukdashim v'yipasel. Yachol, I might say, yehei b'chol she'avra shenato. That a b'chor, an animal that is the firstborn, that we have an obligation to bring it up to the temple to be sacrificed within the first year. Let's say that firstborn animal. The year passes and it is not brought up to the temple. Yachol, I might think, yehei b'chol she'avra shenato. That a firstborn whose first year passed should be kipsulei amukdashim, like disqualified holy animals v'yipasel, and this animal too should be disqualified. Talmud lomar, that's why the pasuk says about the bechor, ve'achalta lifnei Hashem Elokecha, it says in the Torah, you will eat before Hashem your God. Ma'asal digancha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha, uvchorot b'karcha v'tzonecha, you will eat your tithe, of your grain, of your wine, of your oil, and your firstborn cattle and sheep. So why does the pasuk describe the firstborn together with the tithe? Makish b'chol lemaaser. The pasuk is telling us that there is an area where the two have something in common, the bechor and the maaser. Ma maaser eino nifsal mishana lechaverta. Just like the tithe does not get disqualified from 1 year to the next, af bechor, so too the firstborn animal, eino nifsal mishana lechaverta, does not get disqualified from 1 year to the next. So that seems to say, even though the firstborn animal has to be brought on time, if you miss the deadline, that doesn't disqualify the animal. So why don't I say that the bechor teaches me for all other korbanos? Why must I have this other pasuk to indicate that a sacrifice that passes the deadline is not disqualified? Don't I already know it from what Achirim taught me about a Bechor? Answers the Gemara, it's trich. Nonetheless, this derivation is also necessary. Salka daitech amina, I would have thought. Hani mili, this is true. These words were said specifically with regard to Bechor, the firstborn animal, Dilav bar hartzaahu, that the firstborn animal is not a sacrifice that's coming to appease. It's not coming to atone for a sin. It's not coming as a special gift towards God. It's a statute that the Torah gave us, that firstborn animals have to be brought up to the temple. But it's not hartzah. It's not about appeasement. It's not about the connection between us and God. It's its own commandment. Bring that firstborn animal as a sacrifice. So I might think that specifically that animal, that it doesn't have a specific duty to perform at the temple. It's not like it's coming for atonement or as a gift before God. It's a statute the Torah gave us. The firstborn animals have to be brought up. So I might think in such an instance, if you missed your deadline, so then that's when it's still qualified. Aval kodashim dibnei artzaninu, but with regard to other holy animals that are there for appeasement, So I might think if you miss the deadline, they no longer do their task. You're bringing your taxes too late. That's it. Kamash malan. That's why the pasuk had to teach me that the sin is on the person, but the sin is not on the animal. The animal can still be brought and it fulfills its purpose. So the Gemara asks another question. The akati and still. I knew this concept from that which Ben Azai taught me. The Tanya, for we have the following brisa. Ben Azai omer, Ben Azai says, it says in the Torah, when a sacrifice is disqualified because the person thought of eating it outside of the territory, so it says it is disqualified. Oto matal mudluma. Why does it say it is disqualified? It says hamakriv oto, he who brings it. Lo yechashev, if he brings that animal that's pigul, then it's not considered like he brought his sacrifice. The Torah tells us with regard to the laws of pigul. What's pigul? Pigul is if one's bringing a sacrifice and he thinks, I'll eat the sacrifice outside the temple. So you're supposed to eat a sacrifice in the temple. Tells us the Torah that sacrifice is disqualified. Hamakriv oto, whoever brings that sacrifice, lo yechashev, it won't be considered for him as a sacrifice. The Torah came to teach me specifically this type of animal where there was a disqualifying thought as you brought it. Being that the Torah told me there's another quantifier, there's another qualifier for sacrifices. You may not delay bringing the sacrifice. It has to be brought within a deadline. I understand that one who delays his sacrifice is also under this category that his sacrifice is not acceptable before God. Talmud lomar oto, that's why the Torah says specifically with regards to pigul, he who brings it will not be considered an atonement. Oto b'lo yiratzeh, specifically pigul is not qualified as a sacrifice. Ve'en macher nidro b'lo yiratzeh, but he who delays a sacrifice, that does not disqualify the sacrifice. So now this quote from Ben Azai, that encompasses all sacrifices. So now we come back to our brisa. Then why did the brisa have to say that the sin is on the person and not on the animal? Ella. So Gemara says, but the Ella automatically says, I rescind what I've said until now. A new explanation. Bechachet v'lo b'ishtechachet. Rather, we have to say another derivation. If one delays in bringing the sacrifice, the sin is on him and not on his wife. Okay, what's going on? Salka daitech amina. You would think, hoil ve'amar Rabbi Yochanan v'item Rabbi Elazar, being that Rabbi Yochanan said, or others say it was his disciple, Rabbi Elazar, who said, en ishto shel adam meta alayim ken mevakshin menu mamon ve'en lo. He said, a wife doesn't die for her husband unless they ask him for money and he doesn't have it. Meaning, he has money that he owes God, and God says, okay, you didn't pay up, I'll take your collateral, I'll take your bed, I'll take your wife. The pasuk says, if you don't have what to pay, why should God take your bed from beneath you, which is a clean way of saying your wife. So we are taught that one loses one's wife, God forbid, one would lose one's wife over the fact that he didn't pay his dues. I might think, okay, so that pasuk says a guy takes a vow. I will bring a donation, and then he doesn't do it. A guy takes a vow and he doesn't live up to it. So then we're taught his wife dies because of that. So I might think for Bal Ta'acher, because he delays his vow, Nami Ishto Meta, his wife would die for that too. Kamash Malon, that's what the pasuk was telling me. Vayav Bechachet, the sin is on the person and not on his wife. Ordinary vows, so then she is collateral. For Tzedakah and other vows. For Bal Ta'acher, not. For sacrifices, not. So where is she collateral? So one understanding says if he stole money and he doesn't pay it back. Another understanding says he takes a vow. He takes a vow that he'll pay something and he doesn't. Here we're talking about a situation where he pays up his vows, but he's only late on paying the vows. So that's what Tosus wants to say here. I explained it slightly differently in order to make our Gemara work with the Medrash about Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu lost Rachel because he was late in paying up his vow. He promised God, I'll make you a temple if you bring me back in peace, and he was delayed, and that's why his wife Rachel died in his lifetime. That's what he did to deserve it. Obviously, she did her thing to deserve it. Everyone does their thing to deserve their pain. So in order that our Gemara will work with that, that's why I said specifically on Bal Tachar of a Karbon. And then our Gemara works with that Medrash too. You could say it's a Machlokes, but okay. Tanur Rabbanan. Now we have another Braisa. Again, our subject is Bal Tachar. So the pasuk says, with regards to vows, the pasuk says, "Motza sifatecha tishmo v'asita kasher nadalt al Hashem Elokecha nidava." Motza sifatecha, the words that come out of your lips, tishmo, you shall watch, v'asita, and perform, kasher nadalt, as you took a vow, Hashem Elokecha nidava, you made a dedication for Hashem your God. Make sure you pay up what you've said. Shel dibalta v'ficha, that which you said with your mouth. So now the Gemara takes this pasuk and breaks it up word by word and explains what are the derivations that we have from this pasuk. Tanu Rabbanan, we have the following braisa. Motza sifatecha, the pasuk says, the words of your mouth. So we understand it to mean, the words of your mouth, be careful to keep. Zo mitzvat aseh. That's a proactive commandment. Tishmo, you shall watch. Zo mitzvat lo taseh. That's a prohibition. Throughout the Talmud, Rabbi Avin said in the name Rabbi Allah, anytime you have the root, hishamel, pen, or al, that's a prohibition. It's a los asih. So here too, the pasuk says, tishmo, so that's a los asih. Vasita seems to mean, and you will perform. It's a commandment. Azara lebetin sheye asucha, that's a warning to the courts that they should ensure that you keep your word. The pasuk then says, "Kashel nadalta," as you took a vow, zeneda. That's a reference to the vows one takes. The pasuk says, "Lashem lokecha to Hashem your God." That seems to be superfluous. It's coming to encompass areas where you didn't voluntarily take a vow, but rather one is obligated towards Hashem his God. Those are the sacrifices he has to bring over his sins. Elu chatot v'ashamot olot u'shlamim. Those are the sacrifices of Chatos, Asham, Ola, and Shlomim that are obligatory. The pasuk says, Nidava, your donation, Kemashmo, that's referring to the things you donate, that they too have to be brought on time. Stick to your word. Asher Dibauta, as you said, Elu Kochebe de Kabait, that's a reference to the things that one designates to the temple. Bede Kabayis, he donates his chair, his lamp, his car. That goes to the Bedek HaBayis. You can't bring a sacrifice from that, so the Bedek HaBayis figures out how to use it or sell it and make money for the temple. Beficha, with your mouth, Zot Tzedakah. That's a reference to charity that one takes responsibility. Why does it say with your mouth? That's a reference to the Tzedakah that one promises to give. So that's the Braisa. Till here, the Braisa taught us that the din of Bal Te'acher, the responsibility to bring our dedications, is both a mitzvah saseh and a los saseh, and bezdin forces a person, and it encompasses the sacrifices and bedek habayis and tzedakah. That's what the Braisa derived from this pasuk.
What are these terms? Where do these terms come from? That it's explained.
I didn't follow.
This is a mitzvah and tishmo. We're talking about words from Sukkim.
We said the pasuk says, "Motza sefatecha tishmo v'asita kasher nadalta l'Hashem Elokecha nidava asher dibalta b'ficha." And it takes the pasuk and breaks it down.
That pasuk
is maybe in Kiseitze Dvarim Chaf Gimel. Want to take out a chumash? We'll see the pasuk. That's a better way. That's what we should have done originally. Let's get a chumash.
Gemara, I mean, where does the Gemara get this puzzle from?
Are you allowed to use this?
There's a miscut usage.
Rashat Kitik say, Pasuk says, Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Dvarim Chaf Gimel, Chaf Dalet. After the parsha of Lo Sa'acher, says in Pasuk Chaf Beis, Ki Tidon Nedar Hashem Lokecha Lo Te'acher L'Shalemo. So right afterwards, the Torah says, Motza Sefatecha Tishmo Vasita Kasher Nadarta L'Hashem Lokecha Nedava Asher Dibarta Beficha. Motza Sefatecha, what your lips emit, Tishmo Vasita, you should watch and perform, Kasher Nadarta L'Hashem Lokecha, as you took a vow to Hashem your God Nedava, a donation, asher dibarta beficha, that you said with your mouth. So the Gemara says, it says in the Pasuk, Motzas Patecha, that's an asay. What you emanate with your lips, perform. Tishmo, that's a los asay. Watch it, that's a los asay. Ve'asita, that's a reference to the courts, they should force you. Kasher nadauta, that's a reference to the things you could donate with a vow. Lashem elokecha, those are the things you owe Hashem your God. All the sacrifices that one would owe. Nidava, that's your donations. Asher dibalta, as you spoke. So that's a reference to the bedek habayis, the things one dedicates to bedek habayis. Beficha, with your mouth, that's a reference to tzedakah. That's the Gemara's limit on this pasuk, yeah? Okay, now the Gemara says, Amamal, the rabbi said, we said previously, Motzas fatecha zo mitzvat asei, lamali. Why do I need another pasuk telling me a mitzvah to say? The pasuk, I have another pasuk that tells me that when I come up to the temple, I must bring my sacrifices. Me'uvata shama v'haveitem shama nafka. Don't I derive it from the pasuk says, the place that God chooses, you will come there. And then the pasuk says, and you will bring there your sacrifices. The pasuk is indicating when you come on the holidays, you have an obligation to bring. That's a mitzvah to say. So that's question number one. Question number two. We said in the Braisa, Tishmo, you will watch it. That's a mitzvah lo sa'aseh, so mitzvah lo ta'aseh, lamali. Why do I need this source for that? Milot acher l'shalmo nafka. The previous pasuk says, when you make a donation, do not delay in bringing it. So I have a pasuk that prohibits delaying. Next question. We said in the Braisa, ve'asita, and you will perform, azara lebetin sheyasucha, that's a warning to the courts that they should force you, lamali. Why do I need that derivation? We already have another verse that teaches me that Bezin should force your hand. Ditanya, for we have the following brisa. It says in the Pasuk that a person who dedicates a sacrifice, yakrivoto, he will bring it to the entrance of the courtyard. So Chazal say, wait a second, in the beginning, earlier you said he will bring it to the courtyard. Why does it repeat he will bring it? It repeats it to tell us, melamed shekofinoto, that we force him, to tell us that the courts come and they start beating him up if he doesn't bring the sacrifices he promised. Yachol bal kocho, you might think that we force him to bring a sacrifice against his will. Talmud lomar lirtzono, the pasuk teaches us no. Sacrifice must be brought with a person's consent. Haketzad, so what you going to do? Kofinoto ad sheyomar rotzani, we force his hand till he says, I want to. Because we say every person deep down inside wants to do what's right. There's just a lot of confusion in the way. So sometimes by forcing his hand, you're helping him reach his real self. So we had three questions here. Why do I need a mitzvah say? Why do I need a mitzvah slos say? Why do I need to tell Bezdin to force one's hand? All three concepts we have other sources for. Answers the Gemara. Chad, one source is to teach me about a situation, de'amar ve'lo afrish, a person said he'll bring a sacrifice, and he didn't even separate that animal. So even in that case, he should know that there's an asay and a los asay, and Bezdin forces his hand. V'chad, and the second source teaches me, afrish velo akriv. If he set aside the animal, he promised, and then he set aside the animal, and then he didn't bring the animal. So in such a situation too, there's an asay and a los asay, and Bezdin forces his hand. V'tzricha, and I needed both points to be taught. V'i yashmin an amal velo afrish. Because if I would have been taught that if one said he would bring the sacrifice and didn't even separate the animal, I would say, Mishum lo kaima le dibure. Maybe the reason there he transgresses and we force his hand is because he didn't do what he promised. Aval afrish velo akriv. But if he took aside the animal and said, okay, this is the animal I owe the temple, so then he just didn't bring it to the temple yet. Ema, I might say, kol echad ite begaza derachmana ite. Wherever it's situated, it's as though it's the court owns it. If a guy writes over his car to the IRS as collateral, so he could be driving it wherever he wants. But at the end of the day, wherever he is, they could take their hand and take it. So this guy designated this animal. He promised the animal. Then he designated the animal. So I might say, maybe in such an instance, even though he's delaying, he's non-transgression, and maybe the court doesn't force his hand because the animal, so to speak, already belongs to God. Wherever it is, it belongs to God. So maybe he's not really in transgression once he designated the animal. Tzricha. That's why I needed to learn both a case where he did not designate the animal and that he did. V'yashmina nafrish v'lo akriv. And if I would have learned the situation where he designated an animal but did not sacrifice it, that in such a scenario he is in transgression of the asay and los asay and Bezdin forces his hand, I would have said the kamashi le gabe. That's why he's in transgression, because he's delaying it by him. What are you delaying God's animal by you for? It belongs to God. You promised it. You designated it. Do it. Aval amar velo afrish. But maybe in an instance where he just promised he would bring the sacrifice, but he did not actually designate the animal, ema dibura lo klumu. I might say, just for saying so, maybe he's not in transgression of delaying. Maybe the saying it is nothing. Okay, he said it, but now we're not going to hold him to task if he takes a little bit of time till he brings it. There isn't an animal walking around that's being delayed from being sacrificed. Tzricha, that's why I needed to give both scenarios. That's why the Torah had to teach me that in both scenarios, he's in transgression of an asay and a los asay, and Bezdin would force his hand. So the Gemara says, wait a second. You want to tell me that this Braisa is talking about a situation that he designated, but did not yet, that he promised, but did not yet designate an animal. Could you say the pasuk is talking about a situation where he promised but did not designate the animal? But the pasuk gives an example of a nidava. Nidava is an animal that's been set aside as a donation. How could you say the pasuk is talking about a situation where he promised but did not designate the animal? Vitnan, and we have the following mishnah. Ezu neder. What's a classical case of neder? Haomer hare alai. If one says, I am responsible to bring an ola sacrifice, that's an example of a neder. The responsibility is on him. Ezu nidavan. What's an example of a nidava? That's a situation where he took a vow and he said, Haomer hare zo ola. When he says, this animal is an ola sacrifice. Uma be neder lindava. So what's the difference between if it's a neder or a nidava? Neder met o nignav chayav b'achayuto. A neder, if the animal died or was stolen, so then he's responsible. He promised he would bring a sacrifice. Nedava, but in contradistinction, an animal that was designated, that animal is donated. Met o nignava, if it died or was stolen, eno chayav b'achayuto, he's not responsible. Hekdesh lost its animal. Let Hekdesh sue the thief. So if nidava is a scenario where the animal was already designated, how could we say that our braisa is talking about a scenario where the animal was promised but not designated? Amar Rava, so Rava told us, he says the following answer. Mishkachat la kegon, you could find a scenario where you have a nidava that the animal is not really designated yet in the following case. The amar, where a person says, Hare alai ola. I am responsible to bring an ola. So far it sounds like a neder, not a nidava. He says, I am responsible to bring an ola al menat she'ini chayav b'achayuta, on condition that I'm not responsible. So when he says I'm not responsible, he turns it into the din of a nidava. So even though Nedava, we automatically assume is an animal that's been designated, Rava teaches us, no, a neder where the responsibility does not lie on the person is also called a Nedava. So that's what the Pasuk could be talking about. When the Pasuk says, make sure to bring your Nedavos on time, it's not talking about an animal. We said that Pasuk is talking about a case where you did not designate an animal. But it's talking about a neder that took on the shape of a nedava. He says, I will bring the sacrifice on condition that I'm not responsible. Okay. We'll pick up here, Bezachim, next week. Right.